The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I am joined here this morning with Janet Cimarelli. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Al.
Another beautiful day, but not so hot and steamy. It seems the rain cooled things off, which is very, very nice. And I think we're expecting some more rain at different times of the day, which should keep things much cooler than it has been, which is a welcome feeling, no question about it. We, as usual, have a great show planned for today. We have a lot of interesting topics to talk about. I do want to let the listeners know that as of yesterday, the Save-A-Lot store, located at 3105 North State Road 7 in the city of Margate, has their internet service. And for those people that would like to come in to shop when the store does open, which will be sometime in November, they will have free access.
Free as in no charge free.
Exactly.
As in every day, no charge.
Exactly right. To be able to browse the internet while you're shopping, and if you feel like comparing prices, please feel free to do so, or conduct any other business that you feel comfortable doing from a service that is, again, 100% free. So that will take place sometime in November when the store opens. You'll have the ability to do that. And as a reminder, you can go to SaveALotNutritionCenters.com and visit the site and be able to listen to some of the shows that you either may not have heard in its entirety or shows you'd like to rehear. And there's no set amount of time or amount of times you can listen to the show. You can listen to the same show for six times if you want, if there are things that you missed in a discussion. So it is available. They're all archived, and you can click on whichever one you'd like. And we do have some exciting guests coming up, appearing on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. And although they may not be speaking about supplements, they will be speaking about different choices in life that we all have. And life is something that you want to have a complete feeling for and satisfaction. And sometimes there are unanswered questions that you have to deal with. And some of the points that you may feel that are escaping you may come to the fruition in your minds and your ears when you listen to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. And this particular Friday, we have one of my sons-in-law, Kobe Reback, and he'll be talking about a very interesting subject that may appeal to many people that are listening to your show or to people that you may know that have some issues in their life that they're looking to correct. But today, Janet, let's talk about some of the interesting topics that you and I discussed before coming on the air.
Sounds like a plan.
And as we all know, the country has been invaded with the issue of overweight and obesity. The United States alone, to my last reading of statistics, showed that about 70% of our over 300 million people are considered either overweight or obese. The figure worldwide is now over 600 million people that are affected by obesity, and this obesity condition increases the risk of several disorders and illnesses in the body. Number one, of course, is being heart disease. Number two being stroke. Number three being type 2 diabetes. And then you have osteoarthritis and some forms of cancer. which should be enough, hopefully, to scare a lot of people to get back into the range of being in a weight range that is metabolically correct for them. However, there are some mainstream people that believe that even though people are obese, that they may be in what they call the healthy range. Now, to your knowledge, now, you've been dealing with people for a number of years. Without giving up your age, you've seen people in different stages of their life and different weight classes. Is there such a thing as a healthy person who is either overweight or obese?
Well, I think the deciding factor is, does their BMI put them in a category of overweight or obese? And certainly when you are closing in on that line that divides overweight from obesity, obesity seems to be the deciding factor. So people who are overweight and are active, and I'm going to say I just recently was observing someone who is a runner, runs over a mile every day, and routinely, let's say one or two times a month, she's doing some of the community races. And so an accomplished and consistent runner and overweight. And so you think, how can that be? Because she's really putting extreme effort into her exercise. And so when you look at her, very muscular, but mid portion of her body kind of developing they're fondly called love handles. Okay, so I'm going to put that person in the category of a healthy, overweight individual. And, okay, without looking at that person's blood work or investigating any issues, discomforts or something like that, I'm going to say she's healthy. So if the person is in the lower to mid-range designation of overweight and very active, I'd say that the possibility for good circulation, good hormone function, good digestion and elimination is pretty high. Now, I think that there probably are exceptions to that. Once you move into the obesity category, when you're evaluating BMI, it's another story entirely.
Well, the issue with BMI, from what I've been hearing and reading, has really to do with men and women who are so physically fit, they have more muscle on their body than your average person. So if we're dealing with, let's say, a 5'9" person that weighs 200 pounds, and a BMI that may be 33 or 34, they would be considered either overweight or obese.
They probably would be in the high range of overweight, about to move into obesity.
But yet you take a weightlifter or a person who exercises in a gym that has a BMI of only 23, versus a 33 or 34 with the same weight, same height, you can't consider them to be even in that category. Is that correct?
Absolutely. However, I think that those very densely muscled individuals might mistakenly, because of the BMI designation, might mistakenly think they're home free, that they're... muscle density is so significant that they don't necessarily have to worry about typical illnesses associated with being overweight. And what I say they probably have to be concerned and focused on would be inflammation because the intensity of the weightlifting could contribute to inflammation in different joints. And the other part is if they're just doing their weightlifting and they're neglecting maintaining their core, then the digestive system, small intestines, liver, kidneys could be at risk.
Well, that's an interesting topic because I think the core is probably the best element of exercise people can do.
Right.
Because it helps maintain balance, and especially as you get older, it enables you to focus better because you're able to control your body better. Less chance of falling and breaking any bones or hurting yourself because you do lose balance as you get older. And, of course, RX medications, pharmaceuticals, can contribute to that balancing effect that you don't have because of the pharmaceuticals. It's giving you a little bit tipsy-turvy feeling by not being able to stand on your own 2 feet without feeling like you're either moving to the right or the left, backwards or forwards, or anything else. So it's important, if you do get into an exercise program, to start by exercising the body core. And there are many different fine programs, exercise programs, that you can do at home. You don't have to belong to a gym. You can do them at home. Just look up online core exercises, and it'll give you a choice of many, many different things you can do to help improve yourself. So in your feeling again, it's important to maintain a good, healthy weight and exercise properly. And if you are a little bit overweight, as long as you maintain a good blood profile, you're not in any complete danger of affecting your health long range. Is that a summation, or how would you classify it?
Okay. I think that a lot of physicians would say that is an appropriate summary. I say there are so many refinements, so many little individual details for each person that might come to see me. And so I would tweak that for the individual.
So it'd be case by case. Well, I know we are coming up on an intermission, and when we come back, we're going to talk about another part of the body, which is an important part. It's called the thyroid. So, Janet, we'll go
and to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Mr. Al Foreman, and we'll be right back after these messages. You can find out more about the Save a Lot Nutrition Centers at this website, SAVA-LOTNutritionCenters.com. See progress of the store coming together. Check in for pre-opening specials. Learn more about EDLP, the unique saving opportunity of everyday low pricing. You want more information? Go to al@SaveALotNutritionCenters.com.
Health and happiness are high priority, but so is the health of your budget. That is where Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers addresses all of your health and nutrition needs with EDLP. Everyday low pricing. No need to wait for special sales. Every day of the week, you can find the health-supporting items you have come to rely on at the prices that fit your pocketbook. Want more? Go to info@SaveALotNutritionCenters.com.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Al Foreman, and we are giving you a wide range of information that will assist you in supporting overall good health. Just before the break, we were talking about balance, and If you lose your balance, and you will as you age, that refinement of balance tends to be minimized just with the process of age. And there are some theories about exactly what's happening, but I routinely talk to people about the risk of falling, and it is that falling that puts them in potential danger for a break of a bone, possibly hitting their heads, and a concussion, you know, all kinds of things that are really serious and can set you back for months with regard to how your whole body is functioning. So when people come and see me, I give them some simple exercises that they can do at home. But here's one for all of you who have access to our beautiful Atlantic Shore beaches. If you spend 10 minutes, 5 days a week, walking in dry sand barefoot, it makes such a dramatic difference in how well your balance functions that in just a week you will see a difference in your balance. Al?
Well, the next topic I'd like to talk about is something that a lot of people have been faced with over the years, and it's a part of the body that most people may not even pay too much attention to, and that is called the thyroid. And the thyroid is a very small gland located at the front of the neck that's responsible for making thyroid hormones. And thyroid hormones help the body use energy and control a great number of activities. They control how the body burns calories, which goes into the effect of being overweight or obese. And thyroid hormone levels are controlled by a small gland in the brain called the pituitary. So we're going to get into some of the parts of the thyroid functions and how you can determine whether or not your thyroid is in proper working order. Janet, I know we discussed the thyroid storm before we went on the air, and you had an interesting point that you had come across many years ago. So why don't we get into the thyroid storm?
Well, I'm going to say when you're talking about the thyroid and how it affects different parts of your body, there's a movie and a kind of game. The movie is 6 degrees of separation, and the game is 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And so 6 degrees of separation, you can find some connection to thyroid, because thyroid regulates so many different aspects of how your mind and your body work. So you're talking about the connection with obesity. There's a connection with hormone balance. There's a connection with brain chemistry, depression, migraines, energy, immune function. So you name it, and you can find a connection that the thyroid plays a role with some different function in your body. With regard to the thyroid storm, it's an interesting discussion because sometimes people might be experiencing it and they would have no idea that what's going on actually is originating with their thyroid function and is not a virus or a bacteria. And what I'm referring to is a sore throat unlike any other sore throat the individual has ever experienced in their lives. So painful, so much interfering with the ability to swallow. And along with the intensity sore throat of that sore throat is an inability to sleep and a fatigue that is overwhelming. It is as though your body is just made of lead, that there is no strength in it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it comes to mind, is it possible that people that are diagnosed with chronic fatigue have been diagnosed wrongly because maybe the doctor did not check their thyroid levels?
Well, it's so amazing to me because many times the blood work for a routine thyroid check in a physician's office will not show the intensity of that negative activity with the thyroid. So the blood work doesn't show it. And the doctor may be testing for bacteria for an extreme sore throat, thinking, okay, it's a strep throat. That is not the case. And so then the doctor may be testing for the presence of viral antibodies, and those are not present. So the kind of catch-all diagnosis ultimately is some virus going around.
All right. So symptoms of thyroid storm could include fever, dehydration, rapid or irregular heart rate, nausea or vomiting, diarrhea, total weakness of the body, heart failure, confusion, shaking, and sweating. So there's a lot of open areas of symptoms here. And if you don't have the right kind of doctor or the right kind of medical help helping you get through this area, you could be put on pharmaceuticals that will do nothing to improve your bodily function. When you analyze blood work, Janet, and you look at the thyroid picture, what do you see on a thyroid picture?
Very often, perfect thyroid function. And so, do you remember the days when a physician might be regarded as an excellent diagnostician? And unfortunately, those days seem to have gone away, because so many times all the doctors are looking at are the black and white numbers and letters on your blood test report. And just recently, doing a counseling session with someone, they presented their blood work to me, two different blood work summaries done 6 months apart, and the thyroid profile was perfect.
And both of them.
And they had every symptom of thyroid dysfunction.
So what went wrong? Do you think there was something in the test? Maybe the thyroid functions may have been in the normal range. However, they may have been too low or too high on some portions of it. Is that a possibility?
Well, so the TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, that hormone being produced by the pituitary in an effort to stimulate the thyroid to produce thyroid hormone. So that was in the normal range. It wasn't too high. Very often with low or dysfunctional thyroid, the TSH is going to be high. And when it's out of range, that's when the physician will generally recommend a pharmaceutical to support thyroid function. Unfortunately, the recommendation is a synthetic one, which is coming to the patient with a long list of potential negatives. And then the other two aspects of the thyroid profile on the blood work would be T3 and T4. T4 has to be within a certain range. Again, in the middle range, you think you have all of the ability to access that hormone that your body needs. And then that T4 has to convert to T3, and there are a variety of different nutrients that are supporting this entire profile. And if you are missing just one, even though that profile in your blood is perfect, if you're missing that nutrient, then those aspects of your blood report, they're not functional.
Well, then if someone has a low thyroid with these symptoms, and they came to see you, what would you recommend?
Okay, I have some actual thyroid glandular, depending on the severity of the symptoms, and I generally begin that very gently. For someone who is not dealing with severe symptoms, but serious enough that they're interfering in certain activities, Mega Food has an all-food source, very gentle, very low dose, but incredibly effective thyroid formula. It's called Thyroid Strength. And even that, I begin gently. The recommended dose is 2 a day. I start with 1 a day, see what the response is, and then possibly add the second one. And then there are a number of different iodine formulas, and the specific form that you're looking for in iodine, and you need the iodine in order to have your thyroid manufacture thyroid hormone. Iodine's part of that picture. And the potassium iodide is something that is not available in kelp. And time and time and time again, I have people coming to see me and they say, I've been taking kelp for years. I don't understand why I'm still having these problems. I'm getting my iodine from seaweed. And the seaweed is good. It's very broad. Trace mineral content is supportive of the iodine, but you need a specific form of iodine, potassium iodide, and I would start with a very small amount of that. Most supplements, the amount of potassium iodide is very, very low, way too low to do anything. So I would be using what I refer to as a therapeutic dose of iodine.
I remember when I had my store, I think one of the most popular supplements that I know you had recommended was a product called Thyroid 130 by a company called Atrium. Was that correct?
Yes. Atrium has a whole line of glandulars, and those glandulars are very supportive and effective at reestablishing normal function of a variety of different glands throughout the body.
Well, when we come back from this next break, we're going to talk about something I was not aware of. It's a subject that concerns a title, hypovolemic shock. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Janet.
And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Remember, Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center on 441, just south of Sample Road. The opening will be coming in the next couple of months, so you need to stay tuned, stay with us here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. And we'll be right back after these messages. Hi, this is Janet Cimarelli, and I want to keep you posted on an incredible supplement shopping opportunity coming soon to Margate, Florida, 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, just south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7, or otherwise known as 441. You will find Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center under construction. Stop in, say hello, get the latest news on EDLP and the great things you will soon find at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. Incredible pricing, knowledgeable vitamin specialists, free nutrition counseling, all coming soon.
Want to keep up to date on progress at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate? You can visit save-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. Want to find out even more? Go to info@savealotnutritioncenters.com. Tune in every day for the latest updates on special events coming up at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers and learn more about the low, low pricing coming soon to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate.
We are back. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I am joined here this morning with Janet Cimarelli. And we're talking about different parts of the body that may affect you or people in your family that you'd want some information about. And if there are any special requests for what you'd like to hear us talk about, I would recommend you call the studio here, and the toll-free number is 1-888-565-1470. That's 1-888-565-1470. And you can listen to the show anywhere in the world as long as it coincides with 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., Monday through Friday. And the way to do that is by going online to WWNNradio.com. That's WWNNradio.com.
Archived on
SaveALotNutritionCenters.com.
So you can listen anytime.
Most importantly, that's important. So let's deal now with this term that I was not aware of, but it kind of sets your mind to know what it is, because it may involve you and it may involve somebody else you know, maybe a relative, friend. It's called hypovolemic shock, and we're talking about symptoms and treatment. It's a medical term to indicate that a patient has a decreased amount of blood or blood plasma, resulting in further complications. So if somebody came to you and said, my doctor diagnosed me with hypovolemic shock, Janet, what would be some of your thoughts and recommendations?
I'd be interested to read the article to find out if they mention altitude, because here in Florida, it isn't something that I've ever come across. So thinking about when someone might have a severe reduction in the volume of blood, a volume insufficient to support whatever activity they're involved in. And so possibly here it could be involved with dehydration, and it would be severe dehydration. But that can happen, let's say, in a physical activity where you are just not paying sufficient attention to replenishing fluids in a timely manner. The other contributing factor would be if you were replenishing fluids, but those fluids would be devoid of components supportive of blood volume. And I'm thinking about trace minerals, minerals, B vitamins, and vitamin C also. So that's kind of where I would go if someone from Florida were talking to me. So if you're kayaking, hiking, golfing, playing tennis, outside doing something, running. What I think this may have something to do with would be possibly confusing it also with altitude sickness, because at a high altitude, you need a greater volume of blood to meet the requirements of your body when you're doing any kind of activity. So somebody hiking, let's say, at 6,000 feet, you might be replenishing fluids, but still experiencing some kind of muscle cramping, muscle dysfunction, exhaustion. You need a much higher level or much higher volume of blood at altitude in order to carry nutrients to the cells and specifically oxygen to the cells. So I kind of think it's something that might have to do with an elevated altitude.
Well, I think that's a good point you brought out, Jenna, because in the article, it does go on to say that dehydration is a major contributing factor to developing hypovolemic shock. And some of the other parts of the whole issue have to do with blood loss. And blood loss, as we know, can be
deadly.
Not only deadly, but it comes in different stages. Blood pressure also is a contributing factor to this. And they would experience a very low blood pressure reading, which means the body's not working. So I am assuming now, or going on the assumption, based upon a person who was dehydrated, their blood pressure could be extremely low and puts them in a great danger of either a stroke, some kind of heart disease that could develop very, very quickly. Is that something that you have ever come across or dealt with or know about?
So where this discussion is going, what it is making me think about would be people who are improperly medicated with antihypertensive medications and a combination of a diuretic with an antihypertensive. So the medication is dropping their blood pressure and they are losing fluids to the extent that it impairs how their body is functioning because of the diuretic aspect of their blood pressure medication. I see maybe issues that are skirting the edge of this hypovolemic shock discussion, and I tend to see it in, let's say, women over the age of 60, 65 on blood pressure lowering medication, and the dose is too high for the size of their bodies, or possibly that they're not attentive to proper hydration and remineralization. Because when you're using those diuretic drugs, very often the doctor will suggest, well, you got to replace the potassium, so take this potassium pill. But you're not only losing potassium, you're losing all of the minerals.
Well, in stage three of hypovolemic shock, they will have had a 30 to 40% blood loss. And the top number, or the systolic blood pressure reading, would be 100 or lower. And as we know, based upon what we've been told by the medical profession, the normal blood pressure reading would be 120 over 80, which I think is what most doctors like to see. However, in situations where people with hypertension, they may want to see a number of 110 over 70. But the average reading for blood pressure is 120 over 80. And the people with hypovolemic shock would have an increased heart rate and an abnormally rapid breathing. And the patient could be experiencing mental distress, anxiety, and agitation. And the skin on the body would be pale and cold. It will, and they will begin sweating, which is rather unusual in a situation like this. Wouldn't you say so?
No, certainly. What I think, that's a description in my view of an extreme situation where someone has been severely injured and losing blood for one reason or another. The other aspect of how it could possibly happen would be on someone who is being treated with blood thinning medication. And the most common that we'd be familiar with would be Coumadin, but there are newer ones marketed now. And the potential for an uncontrollable bleed is pretty significant. So people have to be very aware of being medicated properly for their age, their sex, and their weight, and certainly the overall state of their health. So that the symptoms we're discussing would be for one of those severe cases of blood loss. And what's interesting, I think, is how many people might be experiencing very subtle symptoms of decreasing blood volume, and they wouldn't necessarily know where their symptoms are coming from. They're subtle symptoms.
Well, how would a person know about blood loss if they didn't see it in their defecation or their skin bleeding. Is there such a thing as hidden blood loss?
I think there is. I would answer that question with what I have observed in people. Individuals taking Coumadin, I have seen huge hematomas. So blood collecting.
Okay, for the benefit of the listeners, what is a hematoma?
Okay, blood collecting under the skin. So it's your blood vessel is broken. So it's all internal. No blood is out of the body, but it is not in the blood vessels where it belongs. So it's possible that someone on blood thinning medication could be experiencing these bleeds, and they'd be visible, but it wouldn't be blood that you can touch. It's still in the body.
But they could visually see it.
Yeah.
And that's the hematoma.
Okay. Now, let's say somebody on blood thinning medication gets knocked backwards and has a fall, and they fall on their back. They wouldn't necessarily see it. And their entire back, upper thighs and buttocks could be totally, I'm going to say black and blue. It doesn't look like a black and blue mark. It's more reddish and deep red in color, and then ultimately turns purple and black. But they might not see it. They might not feel it because it isn't like a normal black and blue mark where it's sore when you touch it. So that's a possibility.
Well, I know we're coming up on a last intermission, and when we come back, everybody that may be listening to the show may have a gallbladder, and a lot of people may have had their gallbladder removed for any one of a number of reasons. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the gallbladder disease and how it affects the body.
Okay. And to our listeners, you're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Al Foreman, and more to come on your gallbladder when you come back.
You can find out more about the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers at this website, sav-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. See progress of the store coming together. Check in for pre-opening specials. Learn about EDLP, the unique saving opportunity of everyday low pricing. Want more information? Send an email to al@savealotnutritioncenters.com.
Concerned about your health and the health of your family? Tune in every weekday morning to Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'll be available for nutrition counseling sessions at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The store will be opening in November, and we will keep you updated on construction progress. Located at 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, in the Penn Dutch Center. And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour here every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Al Foreman. And just before the break, we were talking about hypovolemic shock, where you are losing blood volume and the volume of blood has been so decreased that you are on the edge of or in shock. And from a nutritionist viewpoint, it's important to understand that some of these issues must have medical attention. And I think that that is one of the situations where you're experiencing some severe symptoms and severe blood loss. You need medical attention. It's outside of the realm of nutrition intervention. And once you have had the medical attention necessary and you are stabilized and you're in a recovery mode, that's when the nutrition comes in.
Good point. When we left with the last intermission, I mentioned gallbladder disease. And I think most people that listen to health talk shows, whether they be on this station or other stations, and listening to different professionals in the health industry, gallstones are what generally is made up in the gallbladder. And it's made up of cholesterol that has solidified. But it becomes an issue and a problem in the body, Janet. So how do you handle a situation with gallstones?
Okay. There's a fabulous gallbladder flush, liver and gallbladder flush, that I routinely recommend for people who have been told they have gallstones. And they may respond to me that their doctor has said, well, your gallstones are calcified and you run the risk of creating a blockage in the common bile duct if you try to do a flush to get them out that way. The way you need to address it is surgical intervention. We'll take the gallbladder out and those stones will come with the gallbladder removal, and they'll tell you it's an arthroscopic procedure that's so easy, quick and easy, no pain, no problem. However, the problems might come after gallbladder removal, that you are continuing to experience the same digestive system's symptoms after the gallbladder removal that you were dealing with prior to the gallbladder removal. So I would suggest that you not attempt a liver and gallbladder flush without proper instruction and really good attention to the preparation. And for people who may just be those continuously making gallstones, you might consider a discussion with a nutritionist to find out what in your diet you might not necessarily be using, that you need to be using, what in your diet is contributing to the formation of gallstones. Interesting that estrogen plays a role. And this is where I said 6 degrees of separation with your thyroid. If your thyroid isn't working and your estrogen is too high, out of proper ratio, the potential for that interfering with liver function and ultimately gallbladder function, there's 4 degrees of separation from your thyroid. So it's so important to be using a high quality oil, so important to be taking a comprehensive digestive enzyme. I have Janagest. It is not a super strong digestive enzyme. It's just that everyday support with the proper profile of digestive enzymes, including lipase, that will keep liver and gallbladder functioning together and functioning very well. You want to consider choline. So choline and inositol, phosphatidylcholine. You can use lecithin. Lecithin is a fat emulsifier and very helpful.
So you're saying that a contributing factor to gallstones is an intake of high fat?
Poor quality fat.
All right, so let's define the difference between the poor quality and a good quality fat. You're speaking about if a person's eating beef, meat, they should be eating free range rather than the ones that are fed antibiotics.
Right.
If you're dealing...
And the reason is the antibiotics interfere with the metabolism of estrogen, that estrogen being a contributing factor to the inability to properly digest fat. It's so amazing.
All right, so the same thing then would apply if you were looking to eat chicken. You'd want to have a free-range chicken rather than one loaded with antibiotics. I'm not sure if there is such a thing as free-range pork. Do you know of any free-range pork?
I don't, but there are more livestock handlers that are moving away from some of the crueler aspects where they, the way they feed and handle the livestock. So, yeah, we don't necessarily have free-range pork yet, but some growers moving in that direction.
All right, now what about fish? Now, fish has a certain amount of fat, but farm-raised fish are fed different ingredients that the body really doesn't recognize or be able to use.
Such as the artificial color in some of the farm-raised salmon. When you look at wild-caught salmon and the different species of wild salmon, and you look at the farm-raised salmon, you can tell right away which one would be the more health-supporting choice. The farm-raised salmon has heavier lines of fat and is a relatively unappealing color. The fat, I mean.
Good point. So you definitely want to look for wild caught on the fish, no matter what fish you're looking to buy. I know the most, one of the most popular is tilapia, and there was a lot of farm-raised tilapia, and it wouldn't be my first choice of a fish to eat. But it is available for people, maybe on restricted budgets, as long as it's wild caught. But if you're eating the farm-raised one, you're putting your body in, I think, a much higher level of disease that could be gotten from farm-raised tilapia. And I'm not directing to go against the industry of tilapia or any other fish. It's just a choice that we have as human beings as to what we want to put in our bodies.
How about the perspective that we do farm-raised fish in a health-supporting manner rather than the cheapest possible way of raising those fish that ultimately have the capacity to transmit disease?
Well, that's a very good point. And just to review, the gallbladder is a very small organ that sits under the liver, and it stores the bile to help the body break down fat and get rid of waste.
So your liver produces the bile and stores it in the gallbladder, and if your liver is under stress, the quality of the bile will be poor.
Okay, so now as a nutritionist, Janet, what do you recommend to help people cleanse the liver on a regular basis so they don't experience any gallstones?
Okay. See, this is, it isn't just focusing on one part of the body. It's holistic. So you want to start with a very high quality probiotic. The probiotic allows the body to eliminate metabolic debris. So fatty debris that has been damaged. So it can hang out in the gut if you don't have the proper beneficial bacteria. And then a digestive enzymes. Two very basic, incredibly important health-supporting supplements.
So choosing a probiotic and choosing, again, the proper digestive enzymes for your particular body.
And I have a range of different suggestions for clients that I work with. Some people need a very gentle digestive enzyme. Some people need something kind of in the middle. Some people need a very specific focused enzyme formula. And some people need something very strong.
Well, to your knowledge, are there enzymes that target fat in the liver?
Yes. Okay. So lipase would be the specific right. enzyme, but then there would be things like lecithin, that's a fat emulsifier, choline, a fat emulsifier. So there are different things that will very helpfully break down fat.
So if you have a bottle of enzymes in your cabinet or on your counter right now,
Take them.
pick it up and look and see how much lipase is in there compared to the other breakdown digestive enzymes that do protein or carbohydrates.
Aloe vera, very helpful for your entire digestive system.
Very, very good point. Janet, it's been a pleasure as always. I think it was a most informative show. I hope our listeners enjoyed it. And I want to encourage people to keep in mind the address of the Save a Lot Nutrition Store. And driving by now, you're able to see our beautiful sign that sits at the top of the store, both coming from State Road 7, which is 441, and turning down 31st Street, which is the side street that runs past the Save a Lot Store. And the Save a Lot Store is located in the Penn Dutch Plaza Shopping Center, right off, again, State Road 7, half a mile south of Sample Road. Janet, thank you very much. You did a great show today, and I'm sure our listeners appreciate it as well.
My pleasure. Always very fun to be here and talk with you.
So have a great week, a good day, and we will be back tomorrow, Thursday, with another great show.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP, coming soon to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.